Today's podcast is brought to you by The Grace Curley Show. Listen daily before Howie Show. For station and times, go to gracecurlyshow.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I mean, those lights that are just shooting out from the Lincoln Memorial along the reflecting pool. It's like almost extensions of Joe Biden's arms.
Can I have a hug?
No.
Give me a hug.
No way.
Come here.
I'm not coming over there.
Let's go.
Forget it.
Pronto.
What are you doing?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
It's just mesmerizing just to watch a functional government doing functional government type things.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
And the person answered the question, and they're just crying.
Why with all the crying?
This is such a good question.
I just heard a song on the radio that reminded me of the way we were.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. And we're going to be talking about the decline and fall of the COVID-19 panic.
Well, what do you know? Dr. Fauci's on TV right now saying it looks like the virus cases may be plateauing.
It's kind of like they didn't discover the vaccine until, 2 days after the election in November. It's funny how all this stuff works. Charlie Parker, he's going to continue the 25% lockdowns on restaurants, gyms, etc. However, the restaurants will now be allowed to stay open after 9:30. They've apparently negotiated a truce with the COVID-19 virus, the Massachusetts regiments of COVID-19. Many of the other states, like Florida, for instance, have long since negotiated a truce, and the restaurants can stay open later than 9:30. But it just was completed today. But the armistice, the truce, does not go into effect until January 25th, Monday. Because you ever notice, Taylor, he always likes to ruin the restaurant's weekends. You know, everything always goes into effect on a Monday. So they have a chance to maybe have a semi-decent weekend, semi-normal, but no, not allowed, not allowed. 844-500-4242. I was confused. I was wrong when I said that God Save the King or Queen is the same as America the Beautiful. It's the same as My Country 'Tis of Thee. I got him confused. I apologize for
and
that.
I did find an article that shows proof that you could order a spider monkey from a 1968 to 1972 comic book ad section.
You sure that wasn't a sea monkey, one of those
it
things
wasn't
you just
a
throw
sea monkey.
Into?
No.
You throw into some water, and it looks like something weird.
I know what those are. I used to have them when I was a kid. But no, these were actual live spider monkeys that you could get as a pet for $18.99. Hmm.
Again, I never said, "Hey, Mom, can I get one of those spider monkeys?" No, not me. All right, 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. I wanted to talk about the inaugural speech yesterday because obviously everybody, all the mainstream media was just going gaga over it, as we knew they would, even before Lady Gaga arrived to sing the national anthem. And it was so predictable. Chris Wallace said it was the greatest speech in human history. And the reality is, though, it was a terrible speech. And Dominic Green was in Spectator USA, and I thought he summed it up very well here. Two paragraphs of coherence before the left side of his mouth drops down like he's having a mini stroke. 20 minutes of gasping and croaking, the words sliding out of the other side of his mouth without rhythm or sense, the pin eyes visibly lost and fearful, and the inevitable flubs and malapropisms, rural and ural instead of rural and urban. Xi and Putin and Rouhani will be quaking in their boots once they stop laughing. A great politician knows how to lie. Biden doesn't even know what he's saying. Very well put. 844-500-4242.
We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue. Rural versus urban.
Rural versus urban. Or Earl, whatever it was. Heather McDonald, City Journal. It's an odd way to seek national unity. Call a significant portion of the American public white supremacists, racists, and nativists. Welcome to the Biden presidency. Joe Biden's inaugural speech as 46th president is predictably being hailed for its unifying message, and just as predictably, his invocations of the divisive bromides of the identitarian left are being swept under the rug. According to Biden, according to Biden's writer, she meant to say, we are a great nation and a good people, but we also oppress minorities with an ever-rising fervor. Growing inequity is among our greatest challenges facing the country, according to Biden, along with the sting of systemic racism and encroaching white supremacy. Only now are we confronting a cry for racial injustice some 400 years in the makings. Systemic racism, is that calling Mexicans illegals the W word? Again, I get back to this. I want to see someone on one of the major networks mention what Cesar Chavez said about Mexican illegals. Biden rattled off a litany of white America's sins, the harsh, ugly reality of racism, nativism, fear and demonization, anger, resentment, hatred and extremism. He did not name white Americans as such, but he did not need to. That qualifier is inherent in the language he chose to adopt. This characterization of America's worsening racism is not just factually ungrounded. It is a tasteless rhetorical move in an inaugural address. Reflexive invocations of systemic racism and white supremacy have become the Tourette syndrome of left-wing professors and activists. They are au courant, shallow terms of the moment, lacking depth or weight. 844-500-4242-774. When Trump made one typo on Twitter, he was mentally unfit to lead. Biden slurs every other word, and he's the most amazing orator of our generation. Yeah, 844-500-4242. I want to read some of the tweets that came out. I thought Molly Hemingway had a great line about this, she's from The Federalist, and she said that listening to the mainstream media coverage yesterday was like being on a Jeffrey Toobin Zoom call. And if you've forgotten what Jeffrey Toobin did on the Zoom call, it's an appropriate metaphor for what was going on. This woman, Yamichi Alcindor, she's one of the screamers from National Panhandler Radio. A new day is at hand. Alcindor's glee was shared by virtually every other Beltway reporter and partisan Democrat hack in Washington, the latter of whom are really just the honest versions of the first. John King, there's an air of cleansing about today. Again, there's that word cleansing. What is it with these network people? The political director at ABC wanted to talk. He talked about cleansing, and then he deleted his tweet. I don't guess John King has to delete his tweet, just like Jake Tapper doesn't have to delete his tweet, his lying tweet, the big lie, the virus of disinformation about Trump refusing to give Biden a government plane to fly down from Delaware. That wasn't true, but it was very fake news, and that's what they reported. Here's David Brooks, the man who cried on national TV yesterday, the man who swooned, who got the vapors when he saw the crease in Barack Obama's pants back in 2008. He's from Montreal, by the way. This is once again a country that self-confidently believes in itself. What did he think about Joe Biden hurting his native land of Canada with cutting off the Keystone XL pipeline? Andrew Sullivan. Sometimes Andrew Sullivan seems to be onto something. Other times he's just a gushing fool. Yesterday was the latter. Just walking the dog and finding myself in tears. Relief? Question mark. Patriotism? Question mark. That ceremony restored something inside. Because Andrew Sullivan wants to breach the divide between urban and rural, as do we all, right? Somebody named Ilsha. Can we take just one moment and note Hillary's dignity and class through the last 4 years and into today? Has this guy been in a coma for the last 4 years? Her dignity and class, she's still promoting the Russian collusion hoax, which she paid for to be invented. Someone named Emma Dumain. This is cool. Representative Barbara Lee is telling MSNBC she is wearing Shirley Chisholm's pearls today. Chisholm inspired Lee to get into politics. Oh. Here's a contributor advice, Trey Smith. Again, someone I've never heard of. In my house, on my feet, singing along to Garth Brooks at the top of my lungs and violently weeping, because racism is finally over. That's no period at the end of that. So I guess in addition to racism, punctuation is finally over too, at least in the house of Trey Smith. His Twitter handle is at Slimy Hendrix. You know, Jimi Hendrix, Slimy Hendrix. Okay. 860, is Biden more like Shemp in The Three Stooges or Benny Hill? Oh, I think he's more like Shemp. Definitely. 844-500-4242. Hit refresh on your dinner routine in 2021 with HelloFresh. Right now, you can take advantage of their limited-time New Year's sale and see why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. You can fall into a routine that really gets boring and dreary after a while, and preparing meals is one of those routines you can fall into. Just cooking the same thing over and over again, going to the store and buying the same products, the same food over and over again. HelloFresh is a great way to get a change of pace. HelloFresh gives you simple recipes and fresh ingredients sourced directly from growers and delivered to your door contact-free. There's so many reasons to go with HelloFresh rather than your usual trips to the supermarket and making the same old, same old. With more than 23 weekly recipes, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including family-friendly, vegetarian, and low-calorie options. Say goodbye to never-ending meal planning and prepping. HelloFresh recipe cards are easy to follow with simple steps and pictures. Get meals on the table in as little as 20 minutes. Plus, by skipping the grocery store, you can save up to 40% on groceries. Cut food waste by 25%. Save time so you have more time to spend with your loved ones. Go to HelloFresh.com and use code Howie10 for 10 free meals across 4 boxes, including free shipping on your first box, during HelloFresh's New Year sale. For a limited time only, go to HelloFresh.com and use code Howie10 for 10 free meals. This is a great present to yourself. HelloFresh.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this. He's not here to make nice.
Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
The Howie Carr Show.
Mr. President, you said you set the goal at 100 million vaccines.
Thank you, guys.
Is that high enough? Shouldn't you set the bar higher? That's basically where the U.S. is right now.
When I announced it, you all said it's not possible. Come on, give me a break, man.
Come on, you guys.
That's a good start. 100 million. Thank you.
Come on, give me a break, man. Does anybody think 100 million people are going to be inoculated in the first 100 days? First, you got to find 100 million people that they're going to want to take it. Make 2021 your healthiest year yet with Super Beats Heart Chews. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will anyone in the Biden administration denounce the Antifa riots in Portland, Seattle, and Denver?
No.
98% now say no.
That'll happen about the time we get a live shot at a local gas station talking about how the prices of gas have been skyrocketing since Election Day. I'm on the South Shore, says 781. Gas $1.99 on Election Day, now at $2.29, up 30 cents. That ought to make one cry, and not a seasonal correction. Will it hit $4 a gallon before Kamala takes over? Well, I know it's, you know, they're not going to report this. When a Democrat's president, you never see a live shot at a gas station unless the price is dipping. The price never goes up. There are no homeless people. Now COVID-19 is going to disappear. There are no drone strikes on wedding parties in the Muslim terrorist states in the Mideast. Jake, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jake.
Howie, exciting times. We got a president for the working man with a Boston Labor Secretary. And, well, Marty, listen up. Are you going to disavow Joe's killing the 8,000 union jobs? Because, come on, man, I'm for the gas and oil industry. Remember that debate he had with the president? Forget about the truth.
Yeah, we've got Charlie Parker talking today about Marty Walsh. And again, remember, Marty Walsh is walking out the door. You haven't read it in the Globe. You've only read it in the Herald in my column. He's got $6.2 million in the bank that he can take with him through his campaign account. $6.2 million. This is what Baker had to say on Marty Walsh today. Cut 29.
I think Massachusetts is losing a terrific performer, but I also believe that we now have somebody in the federal government who has a pretty deep knowledge and understanding about what the state of play here is with respect to, you know, projects, requirements, where we are, what we need, and all the rest. And instead of having it on a form, which somebody may or may not fully appreciate coming in from 50 different states about what you're looking to accomplish, you know, when we submit applications to FHA, we're going to be submitting applications to an agency that's led by somebody who actually knows what's actually going on here, which I think is a really big deal.
He actually knows what's going on here. And he doesn't wear a mask when he leaves the city because maybe he thinks he won't be recognized when he goes down to a wedding in Weymouth. And he has $6.2 million in the bank that he raised. And that's a really good question by Jake, though. What is he going to do about all these thousands or tens of thousands of union jobs that were eliminated by fiat, by Joe Biden, for no reason, for no bleeping reason? Jay, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, Howie. Yeah, just as far as I'm concerned, Biden, he's already broken his speech yesterday, the promises he's made, the Keystone Pipeline. He's cannibalizing families right there, American families.
I know. And the price of gasoline is going up. Here's another text, 508. Gas in Raynham on Election Day was $1.84 on Route 138. Now it's $2.38 and still going up. That's 54 cents a gallon. Chris, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I think during this last election, basically, conservatives got played big time. And I think that going forward, we have to stop doing the same thing. Like, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, stop supporting Fox News, which is, I think, is a horrible mistake. I know they have moved from what they have done, but that is the only channel that if you're paying for cable, you get on TV.
Chris, here's the key. Don't pay for cable anymore. We this is one of these things. We got to break our addiction to Amazon, Twitter, Facebook, and cable TV is another one. It's just, even if you're going to say, oh, I'm only going to stay on the conservative networks, guess what? Some of your money is going to MSNBC, CNN, ESPN. ESPN did a good job getting rid of that former Red Sox staffer for the Mets, but That's, you know, the broken clock being right twice a day. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And there's an ophthalmologist in Colorado who writes for the American Thinker. His name is Dr. Brian Judeth. And we've had him on a couple of times. And he had a column last week. Will COVID numbers now shift for Biden's benefits? And I thought to myself,
when you look more recently at the 7-day average of cases, remember, we were going between 300,000 and 400,000 and 200,000 and 300,000. Right now, it looks like it might actually be plateauing.
Dr. Judeth, you get the prognosticator of the year award, at least for the first month of the year.
I'd love to prognosticate about all sorts of stuff, but that's, I believe that's for Alex Jones.
But that was an easy one to predict. Let me read just some headlines, and if you doubt me and the doctor on this, just Google in. That's what I did this morning. New COVID cases, 19 cases decline, and you will be deluged with headlines from across the country. CNN, new COVID cases declined 11% after hitting a peak last week. Wall Street Journal, newly reported U.S. coronavirus cases decline again. National Panhandler Radio, current U.S. coronavirus surge has peaked. What's changed, doctor, in the last 72 hours?
The man in the Oval Office. Just like Santa coming down the chimney, you have a new president in the Oval Office. That's what's changed. And that was, at least to me, very predictable that this would happen. The numbers were artificially high up until the time that Trump boarded Air Force One for the last flight to Florida or wherever he's at. And Joe Biden took over, and shazam, the numbers are dropping. And they're suddenly concerned. Right on schedule yesterday, the CDC, or the WHO, admitted that there are too many false positives, and the CDC has changed.
Which you've been right about for months.
Yeah. Well, it's not just me. The New York Times, back in August, wrote a very nice piece explaining the PCR test and how approximately 90% of the positive tests are false positive based on what's called the amplification cycle. And just Google New York Times amplification cycle COVID, and you'll see the article from August. And they made a very good case for overcalling it because of an overly sensitive test. And conveniently, yesterday, during the transition of power, we have new criteria now. And it
new
won't
criteria.
Be so sensitive anymore. So that means 90%. I mean, if they follow what the New York Times recommended, that, you know, bastion of right-wing conspiracy theory, if they follow the New York Times, 90% of the cases go away. And all of a sudden we'll have a huge drop, and it'll be, you know, Joe Biden's brilliance. Well, what's
when
Joe
does he
done?
Get the Joe Nobel Prize? When does he get the Nobel Prize?
He probably will. He'll have to share it with Dr. Fauci, who was warning about the sensitivity of the testing last summer. But he was not covered by the media. He didn't push it. But he brought it up. He's a smart man. He does epidemiology. He knows about sensitive tests and whatnot. He got caught in an interview talking about it, and then all that disappeared, and nobody listened to him. They listened to other things he says, but they didn't want to hear this.
Right. Just like the
media.
They listened to him when he says masks are essential, but before he said masks were essential, he said masks were extraneous. You didn't need to use them. But that interview was deep sixed into the memory hole, and everybody says you have to wear a mask. Now, you know, the thing is, Dr. Judeth, usually a virus has ebbs and flows, right? And as it gets warmer, the virus will tend to go away if it's the usual seasonal type of virus. Am I correct? But we're in the coldest part of the year right now. So this, if this was legit, the numbers shouldn't be going down at this time of the year, right?
That's correct. The other problem is influenza or flu. We have a bunch of flu cases every year this time of year. Anywhere from 30 to 80,000 people in America die every year from the flu, depending on the year. But we're seeing very few flu cases this year. And if you have an overly sensitive COVID test, people that have flu symptoms get tested for COVID, and if it's a false positive, they're labeled as COVID. And there are areas of the country that are seeing, you know, double-digit flu cases, whereas in the past they saw thousands of cases by this time. So what happened to the flu? I think it's just categorizing flu as COVID. And as of yesterday, it'll dawn on the CDC that, oh, gee, we've been doing this, and we've been using an overly sensitive test, and we've been misclassifying deaths. Everybody that dies with COVID is assumed to die from COVID. And that's a point Dr. Birx made back in the spring, that we're reporting things differently than other countries. And all of a sudden, if we get our reporting in line, then the cases dramatically go away because of the brilliance of President Biden, apparently.
Right. And you know, we've all seen cases like where you live in Colorado, there was a murder-suicide, and they tested positive for COVID, and these were listed as COVID deaths. And they,
somebody died of alcohol poisoning in Colorado. That was a COVID death. And technically, George Floyd, he tested positive for COVID, and he would actually be classified as a COVID death if you follow those rules.
There was a motorcycle accident in Orlando, and the young guy, and he tested positive, and he's a COVID casualty. And I remember in Pennsylvania, some reporter saw the list of fatalities, deaths in his county, and so he called the coroner of the county and said, we want to do a feature story on these victims of COVID-19 in our county. And the coroner knew nothing about it because the same reason. They weren't really dying of COVID. They were just testing positive after their deaths. I mean, how many people do you think are actually dead of COVID? We've passed the grim milestone, which they now no longer call a grim milestone because Biden's the president. But how many of those 400,000 Americans that are listed as casualties of COVID-19 do you think really perished of the virus?
Well, the virus may have played a role in a lot of people. If you look at pure COVID deaths, the CDC said 6%, where they had COVID and nothing else. Well, there are also people that have diabetes, emphysema. COVID may have tipped them over the edge, but you could just as easily argue that diabetes tipped them over the edge. If they had COVID only, they might have recovered, but for having diabetes or emphysema or a bad heart or obesity or any of the other risk factors. So sure, things contribute, but to just say it caused it, that means everybody who dies if they have diabetes, they died of diabetes, and that's not true. Diabetes could be a contributory factor. But they're calling everybody that tests positive, even those that may not have been sick with COVID. And we've never done that before. That's a new way of treating an infectious disease. And that's what a lot of us have a problem with, that they've changed the rules for COVID contrary to what they've been doing for years previously.
Right. But I don't know. I don't know about Denver, but, you know, in the Boston newspapers and the Florida newspapers, where I am right now, these huge apocalyptic headlines, 10,000 new people tested positive today. And as you pointed out, that doesn't mean anything. They're false positives. Or even if you test positive, it doesn't mean you're going to get sick. And it certainly doesn't mean you're going to pass it on to somebody else. I've noticed myself, doctor, that these apocalyptic headlines have vanished in the last couple of days, largely.
Well, they will go away. All of a sudden, you know, numbers will be under control, and it'll be attributed to the policies of Joe Biden. And what's he done? He signed an executive order for federal workers to wear masks for 100 days. Well, so what? If you're not exposed to a federal worker and they're not sick, then what's the difference? It's not going to affect anything. It's more
right.
Virtue
and as soon as he
as soon as he
signed that order, he went to the Lincoln Memorial, and which is federal land.
Took off his mask.
and took off his mask. And his grandchildren, they weren't wearing masks either.
Well, that's like Gavin Newsom dining at the French Laundry restaurant, and the Denver mayor, Mayor Hancock, going to visit his family at Thanksgiving after telling everybody else to stay home. That's common. You have Andrew Cuomo in New York wanted to do the same. He got caught on it and canceled inviting his elderly mother and daughter to come spend Thanksgiving with him against his recommendations to the hoi polloi that couldn't travel, couldn't visit, couldn't be with family. But you're right on the testing, that we've never tested healthy asymptomatic people on a mass scale like this. I mean, do you recall previous years where people were going to parking lots to get tested for the flu? No. If you were sick and you had symptoms that sounded like the flu, they'd do a flu test. But if you were healthy, you weren't getting tested. Now anybody can go. They have, certainly in Colorado, they have these testing centers where it doesn't cost anything. You just drive up and through an app on your phone, you get tested and get the results a day or two later. And how many of those are just asymptomatic people? They're feeling fine and they're like, oh, maybe I'll get tested. Maybe I want to travel this weekend or whatever reason they have.
I love the way they're trying to have it both ways, too. Like Governor Cuomo, for example, in New York, he announced the other day, well, we can't keep the restaurants closed anymore, so we're going to start opening the restaurants. That's a sop to the people in his home state, right, his constituents, because he has to run for reelection next year. Yet yesterday, he's now he's trying to get a handout from the federal government, from the new president, and his administration issues this statement. With COVID-19 transmission intensifying across both the state and the nation. So which is it? It's either getting better and you could open the restaurants, or it's getting worse. He said both things in the last week.
I think something Democrats are good at. Mayor Lightfoot in Chicago did the same. It's suddenly dawning on her that shutting down all the restaurants is not so good for Chicago. But yes, you cannot have it both ways. You can't claim it's surging and keep having your mandates and yet want to lift them. They don't know. It's not following logic. It's like when you tell a lie, you have to keep telling a lie to keep the story going. Whereas if you're honest, you don't have to think about it. You just tell the truth. And they've been fudging this for almost a year now. And if they plan this to try to hurt President Trump and get him out of office, what would they have done differently? Their cities be destroyed with protests and riots. The social distancing and masks didn't matter if it was a BLM or Antifa protest or George Floyd funeral. Those things were okay, but if you had more than 25 people at church, it was a super spreader event. Well, that doesn't make sense. How do you go figure?
Right. It made no sense. And let me just leave with, let me just read you some of these headlines. I put them in my column for tomorrow. And again, you can see these headlines yourself, just that you can Google them. They're right there. COVID death rate steadily declining in California. Utah rolling seven-day average continues to decline. Ohio hospitalizations continue to decline. COVID cases continue to decline in Wisconsin. New cases fall in New Mexico. Erie County's COVID cases decline. Tennessee cases down 27%. South Dakota, hospitalizations below 200. New Orleans Public Schools COVID case decline. This is across the board, doctor, across the board.
If anybody Nothing doubts to... that the cor- that the corporate media works in unison and has a narrative, this is just another example of it. They're all singing from the same hymnal. And coincidentally, or not, the day of Biden's inauguration, everything changes. And now everything is safe and you can come out and play now. The orange man is gone and nobody's dying anymore. And you watch. Things are going to be relaxed, most likely. And the numbers will keep dropping. And the Democrat Congress will be happy to give money to the cities that allowed themselves to be destroyed all summer long, and now they want money to be rebuilt. So you and I will be paying for that.
Yeah, they did it for the greater good, getting rid of Orange Man Bad. Dr. Brian,
well, that was That was the purpose, and they succeeded.
Mission accomplished. It's so bad. Thank you so much, Dr. June Defit. And we'll tweet out that column. It was from last week. It's will COVID numbers now shift for Biden's benefit? The question has been answered in the affirmative. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. The reviews are amazing, as this is one product that actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpet and padding. It can be used in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for your family and pets. Genesis 950 is made in America. If you're tired of pet cleaners that don't work, it's time to buy Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for bathrooms, kitchens, floors, upholstery, and grease stains. Consider Genesis 950 before purchasing new carpets. Genesis 950 has great customer service. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code Howie. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950. Much, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. I'm Howie Carr.
You might want to keep a close eye on your fried clams. Howie Carr returns after this.
Yum, yum, yum.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Howie Carr is back.
We don't have the audio yet, but this is a keeper on the second day of the administration. Some reporter, I can't imagine who had the temerity to ask this question of Jen Psaki. I'm going to call her Psaki. Jen Psaki, the flack for Dementia Joe. Someone said, why the hell wasn't he wearing a mask at the Lincoln Memorial? Isn't that federal land? And didn't he just sign the order? We got it now. We got it. Listen to this sound cut.
Focused on doing his job to get the work done for the American people. Go ahead.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural...
At the Lincoln Memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country, and certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know here, in terms of testing, social distancing.
Keep tap dancing there, Jen. You know what the message was? The message was one that we've gotten over and over again for the last 11 months. Rules for thee, but not for me. And he was celebrating. How come Karen Pulido didn't think of that when she got busted in Shrewsbury at her niece and nephew's graduation party? How come Marty Walsh didn't think of that when he got busted at the wedding in Weymouth?
I'm going to go into the grocery store with a pinata next time I go shopping.
Excuse me, sir. You don't have a mask on. I'm celebrating, okay?
It's my quinceañera.
That's an excuse. If it's good enough for Joe Biden, it's good enough for me and you. We were celebrating. Oh, boy. Limerick guy says, one thing for sure, during Plug's term in office, the only thing going down is the COVID-19 cases, and that's a fact. So this is how serious they take it. Yeah, it's very important. It's a matter of life and death to wear the mask, except when you're celebrating. Remember when he called Trump an absolute fool for not wearing a mask? And then he turns around and is an absolute fool. This is too amusing. 844-500-4242. I know it's irritating too, but you've got to enjoy the spectacle of the hypocrisy. I'm Howie Carr.